1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this chapter, very important chapter. And Lord, I would ask for your help, Holy Spirit, because as I give the general Bible principles, it's important, Lord, that we all listen to the voice of the Spirit of God to help us to identify our spiritual gifts and to understand why they were given and how they are to be used. And Lord, thank you that you give everybody something. And Lord, not a one of us can say, well, I have no gift and God forgot me. Every single person that's a member of this church has been placed here by you with certain strengths and gifts and abilities. And Lord, may we all offer them up to your service to be a blessing, dear God, to the local assembly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We'll start in verse number 1. This is an introduction to the theme of the chapter, and it tells us that we're going to be looking at the subject of spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not want us to not understand spiritual gifts. God wants his children to understand what they are and how to use them properly to bring glory to God. So that's the introductory verse. And then we have this verse 2, supernatural gifts were not a part of their former religion. This is one of the reasons he has to educate them, is because spiritual gifts, when you come into Christianity, when you truly get saved and you receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God, they've never had this in their former religion, false religions. So he said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. D-U-M-B, dumb idols. And he's talking about not being able to speak. It's interesting because I was reading one of the commentaries on this chapter, and they said that as they were excavating one of the ruined temples in Corinth, they came across a temple that had a statue of Isis in it, which is a false goddess, and she was found. As the dig continued, they discovered secret stairs that led to the back of the statue. Also, the head of the statue contained a hollow tube that went from the back of the head to the parted lips. Through the tube, priests could sneak up the back stairways and be concealed behind the idol and seem to make it speak. I don't know if Paul knew about this or what, but he does happen to point out that these idols are dumb folks, okay? You may be falling for a trick, but that idol can't speak. And so he said, you know, he's basically bringing this up to say, hey, you need to learn something about what has happened to you. This is not just another religion where you're worshiping another dumb idol. He said, when you got saved, you received the Spirit of God. And because of that, we don't need any hocus pocus. Listen, their old religion was a sham and a con, but there was nothing supernatural about it. But Paul lets them know that Christianity doesn't need gimmicks, okay? I think a lot of churches would be well to know that. You don't need a lot of gimmicks. That the Holy Spirit is real and will give supernatural power and supernatural gifts to those who are yielded to him. Then we get to verse 3, and we read that, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I think he stops, and I think if we were in the church and we had heard some of the things that had been said in the church, that this was placed very purposefully here. Now, it gives us great information for this time. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable, but I'm wondering who was going around refusing to acknowledge certain things about the Lord Jesus, and he said, if they're not willing to say this, or if they say this other thing, don't think they have the Spirit of God. Well, what is it? He said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. Okay, some guy may put himself up as if he's some kind of a spiritual leader or some kind of a, but if he's saying that Jesus Christ is accursed, that's not coming from the Spirit of God. Mark that man as a lost man. And then he said this also, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So I think that was probably directed to identify a couple of voices that needed to be quieted in the congregation, but also a reminder to us that, you know what, folks, don't fall for people that will not give Jesus his proper place and still want to say that they are filled with the Spirit of God. And then we get back into the subject of gifts. So let's take a look at that, start in verse number 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Remember, one of the real problems that's already been addressed that seemed to be kind of out of control in the Church of Corinth was a lot of division. And so part of the division was, I'm sure, caused by this idea of people dividing up into camps and everybody claiming that they had what the Lord, what everybody else should have, and they're the only ones that have it. And so the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, is letting them understand that, listen, folks, there are diversities of gifts, but they're all given by the same Spirit. And so just because somebody doesn't have the same gift as you doesn't mean that they're not right with God and you're the only one right with God. And so differences of administration. And then we talk about administration. We're talking about that the church can have a variety of teachers and leaders and workers that are diverse in their personality or the style of preaching or the style of teaching. But sometimes we get so caught up in style that we forget to just listen. Listen, they're all preaching the same book, and they're all anointed by the same Spirit. And again, don't get caught up into breaking into groups of preferences based on personality or style types. Then diversities of operation. There will be in the church a variety of ministries, outreaches, operations. That word operations literally means effectual, fervent workings. But understand, it's the same God which worketh all in all. You know, I was back in the missionary hall this afternoon, and I was posting some new letters and also just reading some of the letters. And I got to thinking about all of the different people that have been directed to all the different types of ministries and all the different countries. And I thought, you know what? I just could point it, you know, randomly at this letter and just pick another one out and said, if you tried to get these two people to swap places, they probably neither one would have would not be equipped to succeed. You know where they're succeeding? Where God called them. You know what they're doing? God's plan for their life. You know, we have several that are working in prison ministries, at least a few back in prison ministries. And yet there may be somebody that can successfully go to Mexico and build a church, but if they tried to minister in the jails, they'd be a fish out of water. And you know what? I want to say that to our ministries here. You know, I'm glad we have a bus ministry. And I'm glad that people in the bus ministry are passionate about the bus ministry. But if you're not careful, it'll go too far. And pretty soon, anybody that's not in the bus ministry is not right with God. Well, wait a minute. You know, there's different, all kinds of different operations, effectual, fervent workings that are coming out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? Some people are equipped to be successful at this type of ministry, and if you took them out of that and put them over in this one, they'd be a fish out of water. I used this illustration before, and I didn't have it in my notes, but there was a time, maybe I've told you this recently, I can't remember. I told somebody. I think I had this personal conversation with somebody, but back when Dad was pastor for several years, Bob and Kim took all the juniors down to camp. And then I would take the teens down to camp. And one year, he took the juniors to a junior camp down at Indian Creek that I was the preacher at the junior camp. And I don't usually preach junior camps, but I did that week and was glad to do it, loved to do it. Don't mind preaching to them. Don't want to be in the same dorm with them. And after Wednesday night service, I took him and all the kids, and we took them out to eat. And you know, I spent about an hour with those junior kids and had a good time. But then he loaded them all in the van, and I saw him loading them in the van, and I said, thank God he's taking them. Because after about an hour, I was literally ready to pull my hair out, and I just, you know, wanted to go wherever there wasn't juniors. You say, preacher, that's terrible. I know. Pray for me. Just pray for me, all I can say. I mean, but I told him later on, I said, Bob, you're just a natural with those juniors. I said, I don't mean this wrong, but if I had to spend a week with juniors, I'd jump off a cliff, man. I'd climb to the highest building. I'd do a header. That'd be the end of Jerry Ross. And he looked at me and said, are you kidding me? If I had to take a week with teenagers, there's no way in the world, man. And I thought to myself later on, isn't it wonderful that God makes different people that's able to do different things and connect with different age groups? And you know, I think I can, you know, I can still preach VBS, and I think I can relate to kids, but that's not like my top shelf calling, you know. I can do it. I don't mind preaching to them. I just don't want to be around them much afterwards, you know. And, you know, no, I love your kids. I love your kids. I love that you take them home every day, all right, and I don't have to. But, you know, I just thought, you know, that's kind of a perfect illustration. Now, if I develop the habit of, you know, anybody that doesn't have a heart with teens and aren't willing to work with teens, aren't right with God, you know, that's, I think, some of the things that was going on in Corinth. Is God had given people gifts, and they were being used, and they were being effective, but then they got proud because of the gift they had and judgmental towards people that didn't have that gift. And I can't tell you, over the years, since, you know, Brother Klein is kind of overseeing, he's kind of our IT guy, and since he's overseen this, I mean, folks, the things that he does and the way he upkeeps our website and the different things that he's able to accomplish that I've thrown at him, you got to understand, we wouldn't have those things. We wouldn't have some of those outreaches. And so, young people listening, I want to just tell you, as you grow up, you know what? You don't have to be what everybody else is. And you have to figure out what unusual or what gifts or what things, you know, there's going to be some things that just come easily to you, that maybe somebody beside you, it doesn't come easy to. And somebody else, you know, they look at what you can do, and they couldn't do that in a million years. And yet you look at something they could do, and not only could you not do it, you don't even want to do it, you know. And, hey, if it was up to Jerry Ross to maintain the vehicles of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we would have all the buses we have. They would all be broke down out there. None of them would be running. They would all have flat tires, but hey, we'd have them because we got to have a bus ministry. Aren't you glad we have Brother Gordon and other people that's just God's given an aptitude for those things? And so the thing about it is, you know, I think the devil sometimes will use that against people in the church where you don't feel as important or you don't feel as adequate or you don't feel like you're contributing much because maybe you can't do something that's maybe more, I call them, more spotlight type things, you know, where people see a lot. You know what? You're just as important where you are doing what God equips you to do as anybody that stands up here or does anything that maybe is more visible. And so just, you know what? Take yourself off the hook. I think one of the worst things in the world is when you're trying to be something that God didn't really make you to be. And so you know what you've got to do? And this is where you heard me pray, didn't you? And I said, Lord, I need your help, Holy Spirit. I need you. But I think if you really go before the Lord and ask God, okay, this is who you made me to be. And here's the things that kind of make sense to me. And here's the things that I've got an aptitude for. And Lord, how can I bring those talents or those gifts into our assembly to make a contribution to help our church be all that it can be? And, you know, I think one of the worst things in the world, and that sometimes happens, and you know, I'm probably guilty of it. I probably am guilty of it. But sometimes you take trying to take a square peg and put it in a round hole, and sometimes you have a need or you have something that you need somebody a warm body into. And sometimes in haste, you can run over and grab somebody and say, as a preacher, you know, and say, hey, I need you to do this. And, you know, most people are good people, and they got a good heart. And pastor asked me, I'm going to give it a try. But, you know, it's not really what they're gifted to do. Now, the only danger, and I want to say this, and I looked at all the material, and I know that I've talked to preachers that have done this, and I don't mind it. And maybe, you know, we'll do this one of these days. I just can't get comfortable doing it. And I'll tell you why. You know, I've looked at these. They've got entire courses that you can have all of the church go through and all these questions and all these things so that you can identify your spiritual gift. But let me tell you something that makes me a little nervous about that, okay? If you're not careful, you start deciding the one or two or three things that you are gifted to do, and then you think that's the only thing that you ought to ever do with the Lord, for the Lord. Let me tell you the greatest gift you can have. That's the gift of being a servant and to have a servant's heart. Because, folks, I don't know if anybody, I don't know if cleaning toilets is a gift. It's not. It's just something that needs to be done. It's called work. And what I've watched, and I've talked to preachers that have taken their people through this, the danger is folks come out of those courses with these two or three little things and say, well, preacher, if you need this done, then that's my gifts, but don't ask me to do anything else. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I want to just have my hand up all the time and volunteer. And also, if we're not careful, do you know that God can continue to give you gifts that you don't presently have? And if you're never, I think I said it Sunday, when's the last time you tried something for the first time? If you've never even got outside of your little comfort area and tried something new, you don't know whether you got a gift for it or not. And sometimes the pastor, God does give us insight. I've gone to a couple of people through the years and said, let me tell you what I believe. I said, I've watched you, I've prayed about this, God keeps bringing you to mind and heart. I think you'd make a great Sunday school teacher. And watch that person just get like a deer in the headlights, terrified. Are you kidding? No, I said, I think so. I think you ought to give it a try. And you know what? Watch those people develop into some of the best Sunday school teachers we have. And so don't ever get to the point where you're just closed down to it. And I wanted to stop and give that little commercial there. But this verse 4 and 6 is telling us, folks, listen, within the church, there's going to be diversities of gifts. But remember, it's all the same Spirit that's orchestrating it. There's going to be differences of administration. You know, I had to hit this a little bit and talked about it when the transition time during when, you know, I was becoming pastor and Dad was becoming pastor emeritus. And one of the things I kind of went over with our church on in a business meeting one night and just said, folks, I'm just asking you to extend grace, just extend some grace during this transition because, you know what, my dad's administration style is going to be a little bit different than my administration style. You know, I'm just a different person. Could I say it's the same Spirit? Right. And sometimes one of the hardest things, and you know what, one of these days it's going to be somebody transitioning after me. And one of the, if you're not careful, you're going to hold that person in judgment that if they didn't do everything exactly like Jerry Ross did, by the way, I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I'm not talking about changing where we stand on separation. I'm just talking about let him be him. And thank you for letting me be me. You know, and, you know, could I say this? I need to allow you to be you. A Spirit filled you, please. A Spirit filled you. You know, one that surrendered, one that's willing. But it would be wrong for me to have the expectation that every one of these young men need to have the same gifts of Jerry Ross. And if not, what's wrong with you? Because God made me to do something. He's made each of you to do something. And you just need to be sensitive to the Spirit and find out what that is. It's helpful for a church to understand there will be different gifts in different people. There'll be different styles and personalities. There'll be different ministries and outreaches, but all come from the same God. All can be empowered by the same Holy Spirit. The church needs, listen, can I say this? I know that the world uses the word diverse and we kind of go like this, but I'm going to use it. The church needs to be diverse in order to reach a diverse world. And so we need people with different skill sets, different personalities. Let me just give you some just good pastoral advice right now. as you come into the church, accept people who have different gifts than you have. Be glad for them. Thank God for people who have different styles and personalities than you, because they're going to connect with some people that you're never going to connect with, and you're going to connect with some people that they're never going to connect with. That's fine. Don't try to make everybody cookie cutter. Accept people who are passionate about different ministries or operations or outreaches than you might be. Understand that these differences allow the church to make an impact in a variety of different ways upon a variety of different people. And remember this, don't ever let pride get into it. No one here has a monopoly on the Spirit of God or are blessed with all of the gifts of the Spirit, so all we need is you. No, everybody's important, and everybody is needed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's look at verse 7. We read, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Why? To profit with all. These different manifestations, which that means varied spiritual gifts or spiritual strengths of the Holy Spirit, are given to every man so that they can bring profit or contribute into the assembly so that it can be fully and properly functional. And again, folks, that goes back to this idea that God didn't make one person that has all of the gifts and all of the abilities. And that means that we need to learn that we all need each other and that everybody's important. And then verse 8 down through verse 11, we're given a list of some of the spiritual gifts that were there in the church of Corinth, and he's going to identify some of these spiritual gifts. But I want you to understand this. There is no exhaustive list of spiritual gifts that we can say, well, that's the only ones that's mentioned, so those are the only one existing. I mentioned Brother Klein having an aptitude for, you know, this technology. And you know what, folks? Obviously, that's not going to be listed in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, all right? And I don't imagine that there's a guy that was working on the church buses back then. And so we have listed what God had given to that assembly at that time, some of the gifts, and I don't think an exhaustive list, but that allows us then to, again, let the Holy Spirit identify what we have and what the needs are in today's church, okay? So verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. I'm going to go ahead and define each of these so that you'll understand what these were. And I'm going to show you this. I want you to go ahead and say this before I do it. Some of these gifts are not even still available to the Church of Jesus Christ. Some of these are apostolic gifts that when the apostles passed away, these gifts passed away with them. They were given exclusively to the first generation church until certain things came to perfection. The entire giving of the all of the scriptures and some other things that we'll teach in just a little bit here. But the word of wisdom, what does that mean? Was that a spiritual gift that was in the church of Corinth? Yes. The word of wisdom, what was it? Divine insight given to certain people during times of prayer and meditation, where God would give them unique wisdom. Brother Jeff Scales mentioned me the other day. He said, "Preacher, I pray that God gives you wisdom." I said, "Thank you. I need it. I need it." And you know what? Sometimes you're facing something that I wouldn't face. You're facing something that's perplexing. You may go into a time of prayer and meditation, and God may not give you the answer. Listen to this, and I don't. Listen, God gives wisdom. He says, "I'll give it to all men." But I'm telling you, there's a difference between the wisdom of the average person and a person that has a spiritual gift of wisdom. Okay? And there's some times where I've faced something and I've turned it every which way. That's why there is help and there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Sometimes I think to myself, who in the world do I know
that I think has unique insights to this that could help me come to a right decision. And I will contact somebody that I believe has access to a word of wisdom or special discernment in that area. And that's why I think you ought to have a multitude of counselors. You know, you ought to have certain people that you can turn to depending on what problem you're facing. You know, sometimes people come in my office and, you know, I always try to tell everybody this. You come to the pastor for spiritual counseling because that's my expertise. Yeah, sometimes people in the midst of talking about spiritual things, they have a medical issue that's involved in the situation. Well, I am not going to give you medical advice. And I'm glad that I had a Catholic Filipino doctor, come on now, that was able to understand and get to the bottom of what was wrong with me. That is his area of expertise. I'm glad I've got people. Sometimes people come in and they have a spiritual question, but it involves a legal matter. I'll give you spiritual advice. I'm not going to give you legal advice. Can I say this? I'm not qualified to give legal advice. Okay, I haven't got a law degree. If I tried to give you legal advice, I could give you bad advice. And so that's why, no matter what gift you have, folks, don't get to the point where you feel like everybody needs to come to you for everything. Okay? The wisest counselors are the ones that say, listen, I can help you with this aspect of it, but for this, I'm going to give you a name or a couple names.
Right.
And understand, a lot of times that's even within the church. There's been times where I've had young men come to me and they want to get advice about business. And you know what? I'll listen to them. And what I'll do is I will look at what they're talking about business-wise. And I give spiritual advice. I give biblical advice. So I look at it and test it against the scriptures just to make sure that they're not violating any scriptural principles.
Yes, sir. Right.
But then I say to them, you know what, if you want to be successful at this, let me give you two or three names, and I've given names of people right here in our own church and say, you know, these people have business experience in this arena or an arena like theirs, and I think they have some wisdom of God, and you know what, I'll give you this much advice, but why don't you go see them about this? And so let's all do that. You know what pride wants to do? Pride wants to get everybody coming to you about everything. And if you really think you're an expert on everything and you're the one everybody ought to be coming to, you're delusional.
Right.
Okay? Because you don't have wisdom, or you'd have the wisdom to know that you don't contain all wisdom.
Yes, sir.
All right? So understand it. Parents, come on. You know that we point you to your kids to you as the primary. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be so, you know, delusional or so prideful that you can't say to one of your children, listen, I'm going to give you some general advice, but I want you to go talk to Brother So-and-so. You know, that's why you have a church family?
Yes,
to help? Listen, I'm not Hillary Clinton. It doesn't take a village, but I believe it takes a church. If we didn't need a church, then God wouldn't have started one. And within our church family, there is a lot of men with a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different areas of experience and a lot of expertise. And man alive, let's tap into it. All right, let's tap into it. And so the word of wisdom. I don't spend too much time on just one. But the word of knowledge, divine truth revealed to us during times of intense study and personal counsel, studying of the Bible. Faith, by the way. Do we all have a measure of faith? You are created by God with the ability to exercise faith. But you know what? There's also those that have a gift of faith. I'm talking about a Matthew 17 type of faith, the removing mountain type of faith. And there's some people that I've watched step out by faith in a way that most of us would go, ooh. But you know what? They're able to do it. And God blesses it. And I'm glad that they're in our midst. I'm glad that they're around. Sometimes I come to them and say, hey, I need a faith partner in this. I'm not sure that my faith is big enough on this. I need somebody to tell me that God can do it.
Right.
You know.
Yes,
then we have the gifts of healing, divine healing. Not that, and this is talking about, by the way, when it talks gift of healing, it's not that accomplished by medical knowledge. I'm talking about doctors and nurses, although you've heard me say how many times I'm thankful for doctors and nurses and medicines and hospitals and all of that. But we're talking about divine healing here. You know what? That doctor leans forward and looks at me and says, you got people praying for you? You know why? Because he's looking at something that makes no medical sense, that it shouldn't still exist in my body, and yet it's not there. And you know, aren't you glad that there's a God in heaven that likes to confuse the doctors on a regular basis? I say I love it when God makes a liar out of a doctor, you know. and that's no slam on them. They're doing the best they can with their human knowledge and resources, but we all know that there's a great physician, and he has the ability to do things they'll never understand, and the gifts of healing, working of miracles. And that means literally the active welding of the power to do the miracles. I'm going to tell you this. I believe that's one of the signs or gifts of the apostles. Folks, they were doing things in the book of Acts that I can't do and neither can you.
Right.
I'm telling you that Peter, okay, you know what? Nobody's ever run over with a sick person and laid them down so that my shadow would pass over them so that they would be made well.
Right.
And I'm going to teach that more in detail later. But we have to really be careful going back to the book of Acts and thinking, and this is where our apostolic churches are getting in trouble. They will not surrender to the idea that certain gifts and certain gifts of miracles were designated for that first generation Christian apostolic group that just is not available for us today. And I'll tell you why it's not available, and we'll study that as we get into the 13th chapter here. Prophecy, this isn't the predicting of the future, but an elevated, divinely blessed ability to proclaim the scriptures and see it supernaturally used to edify, exhort, and convict people. Discerning of the spirits. I think that that's available today. I think God says try the spirits. Divinely gifted to a gift that allows one to discern between the presence and working of the Holy Spirit and the presence and working of false spirits. You know what? Let me just give you a real easy example. Somebody comes in my office and they are in just tormented. They are mentally and spiritually tormented over this matter of the assurance of their salvation. Okay? I mean, they're just wrestled with it. And some of you have been through that process. You know, you have. You know, one day, well, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. Next day, I don't think I am saved. And you know what I do? I you know what? My job there is to, I need to have the spiritual discernment to be able to help them to discern the spirits. Because one of two things is happening. I'll make it real simple. I look at somebody like that and I say, listen, one of two things are happening. You either are saved, and this is demonic spirits that are trying to torment you and keep you doubting your salvation. Or you're not saved, and this is the Holy Spirit trying to convince you and tell you that you need to get saved. You see what that's talking about? The discerning of spirit? So what's in play here? And how in the world do you decide which one of those two things is happening? And you know what? I can go through a couple, three things I have to do, but I'll tell you the primary thing that I tell somebody to do. You know, I'll talk to them about them. Me and Brother Dave had this discussion. And others in this church I've sat down with, and we've had this discussion. I was out in Rhode Island preaching for Paul Chapman. And in his church, two different services, after the service, a longtime church member came to me and said, could I talk to you? And we sit down in the pew and talk to them about this very thing. But you know what I do? I don't want to be the person that says, you're saved or you're not saved. It's got to be God that convinces you whether you're saved or not saved. But I told him this. Okay, one or two things is happening, remember? Either this is demonic spirits that are trying to torment you and convince you you're not saved, or it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you about not being saved. Now, I tell him this. I believe that over the next two or three or four days, you need to spend long periods of extensive time reading the Word of God. Just read the Bible. I'm talking about sitting down and for an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours or three. I'm talking about we ought to do that more anyway. Shame on us. Come on, folks. This whole idea of we've never read the Bible longer than 3 minutes in our life. What's wrong with us? But why would you tell them to do that? Because of the example of the Lord Jesus Christ when he's being tempted in the wilderness. Isn't it interesting, when the devil came to attack the Lord, he just quoted scripture. And the one thing I learned was this: the devil can't stand up against the word of God. And I told him this: if you'll read out loud the Bible, and you'll do it for an extensive amount of time, if it is the Holy Spirit's voice, it will get stronger in the presence of God's words. If it's demonic voices, it'll get quieter and eventually be quenched by the reading of God's word. Doesn't that make sense to you? Now, you say, preacher, I wouldn't have known to tell them that. Well, you may not have the same gift that I have, but that doesn't make you any less important than me. Do you understand? And so there's some people that you take the weightier questions of the scriptures, the weightier, you need discernment about, is this really God leading me to do this, or is this the devil trying to get me off track? And some, listen, don't go to some carnal person and talk to him about that, please. I mean it. I want to scream. I've actually went to a couple young people in the last couple months, and you know, I'm not going to chase everybody down, and I can't make you do anything, but I do not understand some of our young people that are bent on calling other young people that are no longer in church, won't darken the door of a church, and are backslid and away from God, and they are calling them and discussing with them life decisions, and they won't pick up the phone and call the pastor. You know what? Go ahead. But I seriously doubt if you're going to someone who has a spiritual gift of discernment or a strong connection and ability to get words of wisdom and words of knowledge from the Lord. If they did have that, they'd be in church right with God doing the right thing. And so please, just good night. Can we just use common sense when it comes to where we're going to get advice for the most important things in our life? So this idea of prophecy, the discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues. And again, folks, as defined in the scripture, I don't believe that the gift of tongues are available to us today, not as we see them exercised in Acts chapter 2. Now, I want to say that, and I'm going to prove it to you. And then some of you are going to come to me with a story that you heard about somebody in some church, and there was a person that visited, and some guys went and sat on the back row and started talking to them in English, and next thing you know, they were going like this, and they bowed their head and got saved. And you can tell me all the stories you want to, but you got to understand something. You're bringing the same argument the people that are speaking in false tongues do, where they will not bow to the scripture because human experience is more important to them than biblical principle. I don't care what or what you think has or hasn't happened to you. The Bible is true. Okay, so I'm going to save you coming and bringing me those stories. I don't believe them. You say, but I, and isn't it interesting? It's never the person it actually happened to. It's just somebody that they heard and saw, or it happened in some church they were in. Some guy told them this. And I'm telling you, I can show you, and I will show you, that that was a gift that was given for a time, but that is not available today. There's some things that were there for a time during the time of the apostles, and those gifts aren't available, and that would be the interpretation of tongues also, okay? Now, verse 11, we'll wrap up this little portion of scripture. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, let me tell you why I wanted to go through that list, but I don't want you to get stuck on that list. Preacher, I looked at that list, and I don't see one gift that is my gift. Well, understand this isn't an exhaustive list. Understand that many of these gifts no longer even are available. So God is saying, Paul is addressing the gifts that he felt like he needed to address with this church. But folks, let the Holy Spirit, aren't you glad you have the help of the Holy Spirit when we're studying the Bible? And he's going to come to you, and again, just kind of lay it out in a humble manner. Just kind of lay it out and say, Lord, who did you make me to be? And what are the gifts? What things just make sense to me? What things are I just kind of naturally good at? And what things that, I'm not? And I'm glad there are other people in the church that are. And then take a look at those things and understand. Now, that's why I said all that to look at verse 11. We'll wrap it up. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. So who's orchestrating this whole thing? Who brings people to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I've had people visit here. When they're looking for a church, go down and visit Bethel and join Bethel. They're not very smart, but I've had them do it. Now, the intelligent people visit Bethel and then come here and then they join here, or they go to Brother Kemp. So that, wait a minute. Aren't you glad? Listen, aren't you glad that God is the one who brings, you know, I don't pray, God, bring us everybody in Green, Sullivan, Clay County. I said, God, bring us the people that you want us to have.
Right.
When Brother Val and Sister Deborah was needing to relocate and they knew they had to move churches, and, you know, they came and I think they visited several churches and they had some people from those churches come to their house and sat down and try to convince them that they needed to go to their church. And they came to see me. I never went to their house after that. I just told them I'd pray about it. And then later on, they kind of came in before they made the final decision and said, can we just ask you a question? I said, yeah. Don't you want us? I'm like, yeah, I do. I want you. I want you to come if it's God's will.
Yes, sir.
I said this to them. And I say this to almost every new visitor that I go see after they visit Blessed Hope. I said, listen, if I talk you into coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, one of these days someone will talk you out of not coming. But if God tells you to be here, you're going to know that this is where you're supposed to be. And sometimes I think, you know what, we use so much human resources and human ability and trying to get, listen, I'm out there and I'll invite everybody and I hope they all come. But I know they're all not going to come. And you know what? This isn't a place that's going to fit every single person. So the ones that come and the ones that stick in there, praise God. God's setting them in each local New Testament church because he knows what all the other gifts are already there and he knows what is needed. And I want to say it again in closing, you are important. It doesn't matter whether or not you have the same gifts as somebody else or not. God brought you here. And if you have gifts and you're not using them in this assembly, you're kind of robbing your brothers and sisters in Christ. Make what you have available to the Lord, okay? And the reason that there's no reason for us to get proud about this, you know, is because these spiritual gifts, it says in the last part of the verse there, the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. If you're blessed with a spiritual gift, don't get proud. You didn't produce it, earn it, grow it, own it, or should take credit for it. It's a gift,
right. Which
means somebody gave it to you. The Holy Spirit did. So use it. Use it humbly. Use it for the glory of God. Use it to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't use it for your own glory or your own advancement. Just use it to be a blessing to the body. And we'll, Lord willing, finish this chapter up in the next week or so. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are the one that puts the body together. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all over the course of the next week as we prayerfully consider, meditate, think about things. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have discernment and understand that every one of us have something. Every one of us has been blessed. Every one of us can, there's not a one of us that can say, God forgot me. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to use our gifts to help people, influence people, win people, and to be a blessing to our local assembly. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can take a lot of different personalities and a lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds, and you can bring them all into one assembly. And if we are all yielded and Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, you can put that thing together and miraculous things can happen. May we all, Lord, please make ourselves available to you. We pray in Jesus' name.